Last four-part series of our three four-part series of connecting to God through, we did prayer through the Word and now through quiet listening. Purpose of listening today. Purpose of listening. Today we're going to look at Scripture in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 18. And as we read it, I want us to be reminded of verse 12 as our key verse, and the fact that the point of today's message is the purpose of listening, and to be honed in on that, ask the Holy Spirit to give us guidance as we read. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are looking into your word, Father, and we want your guidance and direction. We need to hear from you what it is that you want us to learn. And as your Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, we want the direction, the guidance that comes from only him as we open up your word today, so that we would have a better understanding of the message that you want us to learn. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. That's a Trinitarian prayer there, including all three parts. So, as we begin, verse 1 of 1 Kings 19 says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done." Okay, context. This is right after the big scene on the mountain, where Elijah had taken and just pretty much made a mockery of all the priests and had the two sacrifices set up. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody realize where I'm at now. And he had just had all the priests killed that were pretty much the priests of Baal, and had all the people witness this. And so Ahab, the king, told his wife, or the other queen, the queen, Jezebel, everything that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, and verse 2. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them," speaking of the prophets he had killed. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death." Okay, there's another verse there, should be. Okay, he replied, "I have been very zealous." Let's look at it. My scripture right here. It just doesn't sound right. Is it right? Exactly. Thank you. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram, over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, over Abel Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who will escape the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." All right. What is the message here that we are to hear? What is the message we are to hear here? The purpose of listening. Do we always hear what we are being told? No. How many times in life have we been in a situation where either someone has said something that we have misunderstood or mistook, or we have been misunderstood or mistook someone saying something to us? At least once? Countless times, probably. You think maybe God's been misunderstood by people? I'd say yes, sure. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have so many false religions out there. If God was understood by everybody, every time he tried to talk to him, we probably wouldn't have any troubles with everybody realizing that God was the only one and true God. People hear what they want to hear when they want to hear it, because of certain situations, because of where they're at, what they're doing, because of their personality, because of, just like Elijah, the situation he was just in. All he heard was one thing and one thing only: Jezebel threatened them. He didn't wait to hear the Lord and what the Lord would say to him after that, because the Lord would have told him, "Don't run, don't worry. I got your back." All he heard was Jezebel saying, "I'm going to kill you." Okay, you've just displayed to all these people how great and mighty your Lord and God was. You don't think he can handle one woman who's kind of mad at you? I think he could. I don't know. Women can get kind of mad and kind of angry, and I don't like when women get mad at me. I'd probably would have run too if I was Elijah and not listen for God to speak first. But that's just me speaking. But that just goes to show you. We, because of who we are, what we are, hear what we hear and do what we do because of that. The world's not perfect. You've heard people say, "I wish I had a dime for every time I heard that," or "I wish I had a dime for every time I did that, I'd be a millionaire." Well, I wish I had a dime for every time I was misunderstood from this pulpit, because I've had times where people have heard certain things, and in Milwaukee I had one gentleman come up to me and say, "Did you say this?" Well, yes, I said that, but if you would have heard before that, this, and if you would have heard after that, this, you would have understood it in that context. Oh, that makes sense now. Well, because you weren't necessarily, and I didn't say this to him, but when I when I explained it to him, he kind of understood. But what I wanted to say was, if you would have been listening to that then, and if you would have listened to that then, instead of just as soon as you would have heard that, that flag went up to you like, well, that doesn't sound right. And then everything else kind of shut off and you just sat there and wondered on that one point. Wow, that don't seem right. You mean he's really saying that? Yeah, I really said that. I had one lady who heard me say this. I don't want anybody to come to Grace Chapel. And that's all she heard. She shut it off after that. And what I said after that was, if the Holy Spirit, if they are not led by the Holy Spirit to be at Grace Chapel. Why? Because if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, if you're not called, even, I'd say the same thing about Bangor Liberty Friends Church. I don't want anybody at Bangor Liberty Friends Church who's not led by the Holy Spirit, is not guided by God to be here, because if they're not guided by God to be here, not led by God to be here, what they're going to do is be a disruption to the body, and they're going to hurt the body more than they're going to help the body. And what that does is causes problems. And I want as little problems in the body of Christ as possible. And when I said that, that's all she heard is, I don't want anybody coming to Grace Chapel. What do you mean you don't want people coming to Grace Chapel? Well, I don't want them to come to Grace Chapel if they're not led by the Spirit to be there. I'd rather them be where they're, and what I said after that is, I'd rather them be where God is leading them. Yes, they may be great Christians, but if God calls them to go to another church, God bless them. Send them forth. Let them go. Just because they may have grown up in this church, but if God's calling them to go to another church, let them go. Don't hang on to them just because of this is where they grew up. That's not a good reason for them to be in church. They need to be in this church because that's where God is calling them by the Holy Spirit to be. If God's calling them by the Holy Spirit to be somewhere else in a church where they can be grown and nurtured by His Word, then that's where they need to be. And if that's what they sense and that's what they feel, I hope and pray it's here. But if it's not, bless them and send them forth. Don't hold them back and make them miss out on God's blessing. And that whole phrase, that whole bit after that is what I said. And she didn't hear the rest of that. And I got a call from my superintendent saying, what are you telling people not to come to Grace Chapel for? I'm not. I'm telling people to seek out God's will for their life. And that's even in church attendance, where they need to be. That goes for everything in life. You need to be where God needs you to be, because a church will grow when the people are there that are supposed to be there, because people will be attracted to that. We don't want people to be distracted by a church that is bickering between them because people aren't supposed to be there. That's a side note of quiet listening. And if we listen to God quietly, we will sense where He wants us to be. And I hope and pray for every one of us, we have that calm assurance, that quiet understanding that God wants us all to be here at Bangor Liberty Friends Church. And this is where He wants us to be, and where we are being fed, and where we are being nurtured and being grown up in the Spirit. So, Elijah hears this message from Jezebel. I'm going to kill you. By tomorrow, you're going to be just like one of those prophets that you just slayed. Oh boy, pack my bags, I'm out of here. Don't even take time to pray. Don't even take time to be quiet and listen for God's word on this. I'm out of town. I'm running as fast as I can. Faster than any human being could ever run, really. And then he gets to the broom tree. He sits down and says, I want to die. I'm miserable. Oh, woe is me. Oh, God, I want to hear you. I want you to hear me complain, but I don't want to listen to you. Oh, woe is me. And God sends an angel. And I don't know. I would have just liked to have been the angel at this point in time. Because I would have just liked to have gone up to Elijah and said, bink! Wake up. Been compassionate? No. Wake up. Bink! Wake up. But I'm an angel. Hi. Why? Because Elijah was sitting there in the midst of his sorrow and not realizing how much God had just done. I'm here as a messenger. Okay, look at this. I just grilled out cakes of bread for you and gave you a jug of water for you to drink. Eat and drink. Okay. Nom, nom, nom. Falls back to sleep in his misery. Come back again. Wake up! Can you imagine that? Nobody around for miles in the middle of the desert. First time you get woken up by an angel in the middle of the desert. How startled would you be? What? Jezebel called up to me. Nope, it's just me, an angel. Here to give you more food because God's having compassion on you. Come on, eat, drink. You got a long journey ahead of you. Get up. Okay, maybe that's not how the angel was. 99.9% sure it wasn't. Maybe it's not how I should have been. But I'm sure it's not how I should have been. But you see the story from our perspective and you see it from a different light. It's like, Elijah, what are you doing? We see the whole picture. Elijah only saw the small part of it. Would we have been as compassionate? No. Should we be? Yes. Should I have been that way? No. Would I have been in the situation? No. Is it funny? Yeah, it's funny. Thing is, he wakes up and then he goes this long journey to a cave and he finally gets to the cave. And he's still miserable. And he's sitting there. And then the Lord comes to him and he says, why are you here? And he doesn't mention a thing about Jezebel. First thing off my lips would have said, hey, this woman's threatened my life. I'm running. Trying to hide. What he says is, everybody has forsaken you and I'm the only one left. Wah, wah, wah. Woe is me. Everybody has forsaken you and I'm the only one left. And God says, wait a minute. You're not telling me the whole story. You're not giving me the whole truth here. Why are you here? He sends the mighty wind. He tells him to go out on the edge of the cliff, out of the rock face. Mighty wind comes by. God wasn't there. Then the wind, then the earthquake, then the fire, whatever, all comes by, and then the whisper, and Elijah covers his face. And he says, why are you here, Elijah? He says, because everybody else has forsaken you, and I'm the only one left. He goes, no, that's not it. Let me tell you why you're here. And he goes on. He goes, the Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down the altars and prophets, and oh, la, la, la. They're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go back the way you came. He goes, there's something that you're not facing. You got to go face head on. go back the way you came. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. What do you mean? You're going to have me do my work again? And Jehu, king of Israel. You mean there's going to be a change of kings? And then Elisha is going to be your succeeder. What do you mean? And then everybody who does not line up with my will is going to be put to death. What do you mean? You mean everybody's going to die? No. There are still 7,000 there. There's a remnant. This is a theme throughout all the kings in Israel, all of the wicked kings, all the good kings, all the times that there's the dispersions. There is always a remnant of God's people that have been listening to Him. They're a quiet remnant. They're always in the scenes, in the background. And God tells them, they haven't bowed down to Baal, and they won't kiss him, but this is your hope. You're not the only one there, and stop acting like it. Get up and quit pitying yourself and realize that you're just one of many. There's 7,000 more that you need to encourage with your presence, because your display on that mountain gave them more courage than they've ever had. Because they knew that I was still working in the leadership here. And it wasn't just a remnant in the background. So, we need to listen. Not only when God tells us to listen, but when we're in a position like Elijah, when we're faced with problems, when we're not faced with problems, we need to listen. So much of prayer should be just times to listen. So much of reading our Bible should be just times to listen to what God is telling us. And not just reading, done. God, what are you trying to say through this? Not what is your word, but what is your word saying? Not, Lord, this is my heart's need, but what are you trying to answer me in response to my heart's need? Let me hear it. Lord, today is a new day. Where would you have me go today? What would you have me do today? Who would you have me speak to today? Give me guidance. Give me direction. Don't just have me run wandering into the desert, running away from my problems. Purpose of listening. Quintessentially, the definition of quintessentially, for those of you who didn't know, is an identifiably distinctive manner. It's a distinctive manner. Quintessentially, the ultimate being the best or most extreme of its kind. Quintessentially, the ultimate endeavor. Endeavor, a serious, determined effort. Quintessentially, the ultimate endeavor. Individually or together. Two. Notably being to a high degree. Encounter being to come upon face to face our Savior. And what's the last one? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Speaking. Quietness. listening as worship is quintessentially the ultimate endeavor, individually or together, to notably encounter our Savior speaking. Whoa. Where'd you come up with that, Pastor Dean? Well, the Lord just led me to it. Quintessentially, the ultimate endeavor, individually or together, to notably encounter our Savior speaking. That is what quietness is. As Quakers, you have a great history, a great tradition of quietness. Why? That's what comes out of it. Quintessentially, the ultimate endeavor, individually or together, to notably encounter our Savior speaking. Jesus in the midst of the meeting, speaking to us out of the quietness. Why is it our ultimate endeavor? Because it's hard. It's not easy to be quiet. It's not easy to sit there and just intently commit yourself to listening. Is it? Pastors think they have so much more important things to say than the quietness sometimes, don't we? I don't have anything more important to say than the Savior says, ever. And my desire and my prayer every time I get up here to speak is that I'm reflecting or responding to what He's already spoken to me. Quiet place. It's nice to find a quiet place where you can listen. Elijah found one on a mount named Horeb. And God spoke to him. Hopefully we don't have to go that far.